Let's bow our heads before we enter God's Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we long to see your face. Like a child that has run away from home, we want to see the beautiful face of our Father, of Jesus, our brother. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to see your face, your countenance in the Scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It would have been about this time in the year that the Israelites of old would have been harvesting their wheat. They would have been gathering into their barns the wheat of the fields and working as hard as they could to bring in the produce that God had given them that year. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 6 and beginning with verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 6 beginning with verse 13. We're going to jump right into the middle of a story. Right into the middle of an event. These were the days of Samuel, before the first king of Israel. And it says in verse 13, "Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it." Beth Shemesh is and was located about 14 miles west of Jerusalem. And the name of the city and the town means house of the sun. It's very likely that this place in ancient times, certainly before the Israelites arrived on the scene, and perhaps even while they were there, was associated with the worship of foreign and pagan gods. You see, in ancient Mesopotamia, which was to the east, in ancient Assyria, which was to the north, people worshipped the sun god called Shamash. And so in the name of Beth Shemesh, we have a reminder of that pagan worship that had gone on for so long. The hills and mountains of Jerusalem slope down to the valley in which Beth Shemesh is located. And perhaps the ancient Israelites continue to call this place Beth Shemesh because of the bright rays of the sun that nurtured the fertile pastures of that valley. But there is reason to doubt that they had allegiance to the Son of Righteousness because they kept the name that was so closely associated with pagan worship. They weren't that far from their Philistine neighbors, and they should have been thinking about the fact they needed to get rid of these people in the land. Hundreds of years before, Joshua had led the people to a lot of victories. They had conquered cities like Jericho and Ai and many of the kings of Canaan, the Amalekites. They had conquered the Moabites. They had conquered many of the great tribes of that land. But there came a time when God wanted to give them the fruit of their work and to apportion the land among the tribes. And so he began to divide up the land with the various tribes, including Judah and Benjamin and Dan, Naphtali and Zebulun and so on. And God divided up the land with the hope that they would continue to expel the remnants of those pagan peoples. But they got a little restless, apathetic, and too rested in their ways. They got used to just harvesting the wheat. They got used to just getting the produce of the land. And as a result, they didn't push out the rest of their enemies. And so the influence was still felt. The text tells us that during this time, the people were reaping their wheat harvest. And this tells us what was going on during that time of the year, because you see, during this time of the year, the Israelites would have kept the Feast of Weeks, which we know today is Pentecost. They would have kept Pentecost about this time. And it was during this time, the second feast of the year, that all of the men and presumably all the children of Israel were supposed to go up to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they were supposed to bring the harvest of the wheat and give some of that to the Lord. And it was then that a high priest would take the wheat and they would form it into loaves of bread. And to remind the people of the great events of the past, they would hold the two loaves of bread before the people as they explained God's goodness. And when the people looked up and saw the two loaves of bread, they would have been reminded of a very important event in the history and life of their ancestors. It was at this time that the ancient Israelites believed that God had given the law to the people. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, was supposed to be observed 50 days after the waving of the sheaf of barley, which occurred right after Passover. And so it was believed that it was at this time, approximately 50 days after the Passover, that God gave the law to those people that had come out of Egypt at the foot of Mount Sinai. And so thereafter, the people began to associate the Feast of Weeks, not only God's goodness in providing the grain and the wheat, but also His law, His word. The two became intertwined, and so it was this time of the year that the people really began to reflect on God's law. If they were faithful to Him, they would have been thinking about the great principles that He was trying to impress upon their minds. And it would have been true of the Beth Shemeshites as well. It's most likely true that they understood what was going on at this time. And if they were surrendered to God, they would have been reflecting on the great principles contained within God's commandments. The Israelites that lived throughout the entire land should have been thinking about God's law at this time. And as they brought down their sickles to reap the wheat, and as they were thinking about these things, they looked up and they saw the ark coming to them. This was the very ark in which the tables of stone had been placed. The very ark in which God had written the law with His own hand, with His own finger, so many years before, was coming to them and returning to the people of Israel. I've often been reminded that we will always have to look up if you want to see God's law. We will always have to look up. And not just physically up. We believe that God resides far beyond this place in heaven, but we're talking about spiritually looking up to the character of God, to the blessings of God, to the provisions of God that we see not only displayed in the Bible, but also in our lives. To think about the things that God has done for us and who He is. Because too often when we are looking down and contemplating only the things of this world, that we forget to look up and see God's law and His goodness, and His character, The ark was also called the Ark of the Testimony because inside it was the testimony of God's character. And so the people of Beth Shemesh, situated in that valley, honoring the Feast of Weeks, should have been thinking about God's law in a special way. And they needed to realize that they needed to look up to see God's law. The Bible says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So the people looked up, and they saw the ark of God return to them, and they rejoiced to see it, the Bible says. We've just read that. They rejoiced to see it. But sadly, they had also rejoiced just a short time earlier when the wicked sons of Eli, remember Eli, the high priest, the one that mentored Samuel, but forgot to instill in his own sons the values of God. He forgot to teach them and correct them when they were wrong. And so these two wicked sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, took it upon themselves to take the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle in Shiloh, without consulting God, without first cleansing themselves of all unrighteousness. They took it out of Shiloh and they brought it to the camp where the Israelites had spread themselves out to go to war against the Philistines. The people rejoiced when they saw the ark come just those few short months earlier. And there was so much rejoicing in the camp that the Bible says a great shout rang out when they saw that the ark was among them. And the Philistines saw it. And at first, fear penetrated their hearts because they knew that this ark was a symbol of God's glory. And so with fear that motivated them, they pursued the Israelites with a strong attack. And the Bible tells us that because the Spirit of God was not with the Israelites, because they had not consulted Him, because they did not fear Him, the Philistines took the ark and slaughtered 30,000 people. 30,000 people, because the Israelites did not revere God. The Philistines took the ark, but after only 7 months, they realized that it is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. While the ark resided in the Philistine cities, they experienced one problem after another. First, they placed the ark in the temples of their pagan deities. And they placed the ark next to a pagan god named Dagon. And they would find that as they came in the morning to worship, that great fish, half man god was pushed down. And this happened over and over again until finally Dagon was shattered into pieces. And they could not put him back together. And this went on. And the people got sick. And finally they realized that they needed to return this symbol of God's presence to the Israelites. And so they returned the ark on a cart that was pulled by two oxen. And let's pick up the story here. If you'll go to the next verse in 1 Samuel 6, verse 14, we'll pick up the story and see what happens. The Bible says, "Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. The two oxen that had pulled it along came to that field and stopped. The Bible says a large stone was there, so they split the wood of the ark and offered the cows as burnt offering to the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone." You see, the Philistines had realized the error of their ways. And so what they had done is not only return the ark on this cart pulled by oxen, they had made and fashioned gold articles that represented the plagues and the problems that they had faced. They fashioned 5 tumors of gold because they had grown tumors while the ark resided with them. Then they fashioned also rats because they had been plagued by those things as well. And they put them in a box next to the ark and they sent it on its way. And the Levites took down the ark and the chest that was with them and put them on a large stone that resided in the field. Now, the Levites, you remember, were the priestly class that God had ordained to take care of holy things. And they were the only ones God had allowed to handle the ark and to move it. In fact, they were supposed to carry the ark specifically by taking the poles, the 2 poles that were on either side of the ark that went through the rings attached to the ark, and carry them without actually touching the ark itself. And not only that, the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 3, it was specifically the Kohathites, which were a family from which Moses and Aaron descended, that were responsible for taking care of the ark. So not only was it up to the Levites to take care of the ark, but a specific family God picked within the tribe to take care of those articles. God wants us to worship Him in a certain way. He wants us to revere Him. And He sets aside holy things for holy work. Let's continue on with the rest of the verse. If you look down to the second part of verse 15, it says, "Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord." So after the ark was taken down, it was put on the stone that resided in the field, they made more sacrifices. And then notice in verse 16, the Bible says, "So when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day." You didn't realize the Philistines were watching, did you? They had placed the ark carefully on the cart and let it go. But they didn't let it out of their sight. They were watching to see what would happen with this ark that had caused so many problems in their cities. And so the Philistines were watching to see how the men of Beth Shemesh handled the return of the ark. The same is true of people today. The world is watching God's people to see how they will handle themselves in God's presence. Often we're concerned with worshiping God in a way that is appealing to the rest of the world, aren't we? But the Philistines had just learned that their worship was not appealing to God. When people come into our churches and they sit in our pews, they come because they know that the way they have been worshiping is not the right way to worship. They understand that the way that they have been doing things doesn't work, and God is not pleased with their self-serving worship. They come because they want the truth. They come because they want another way. And when they come, they're open to receive the things of God. They are hoping that there is a higher, better way of living. And as representatives of God, you and I are responsible to show them a better way. Reverence and respect and awe in God's presence are all missing in the rest of the world. They're missing. Let's not, as the people of God, let these attributes leave God's house as well. Well, the 5 Philistine lords who who were lords over the five cities of the Philistine territory, returned to Ekron, which was the closest city to Beth Shemesh once again. They had placed into a box next to the ark the offerings of gold that I mentioned that represented the plagues, because they realized that they had sinned. They realized that they were not right with God. The Bible says in the very next verse, in verse 17, "These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh." Now I want to take a moment to stop right here. If your translation reads similarly to mine, you may have noticed that the word Abel appears in the text. And perhaps you're wondering who this refers to. The JPS, or the Jewish Publication Society, has a translation of the Old Testament. And it does not translate verse 18, or that section of verse 18, as the large stone of Abel. In Hebrew, the only words that are present in the original text are the word for large, which is a variation on gadol, and the word hevel, which is similar to the Hebrew word for stone. As a result, the translation in the JPS simply reads the large stone, meaning that they placed the ark on this large stone. Now, I don't know if the stone was actually known beforehand as the Stone of Abel. I don't know how well known this stone was in the fields of Beth Shemesh or in Joshua's field. But what I do know is that whether or not it was known before this, it would be known after this because of the events that will follow in the next few verses. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 6 and verse 19, "Then he," God, "struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter." Now, experts, when they read this text, debate among themselves, because the wording of the new numbers is a little backwards. In the original text, it says 70 men and 50,000 men. And people are wondering if it was actually possible to have 50,070 men killed in that part of the world. And they try to say, well, perhaps there is a misprinting of the text. But the Bible is very clear that their sin was not a trifling thing. The Bible says the people lamented because the Lord had struck them with a great slaughter. The very words that were used just 7 months prior to describe the great slaughter that took place when the Israelites brought out the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh, placed it in the war camp, and thought to use it as a magical device to overcome the Philistines. It was there that 30,000 people fell in a great slaughter. God cannot and will not permit His holy name to be disgraced by His people. If you've looked out into the world and watched the way people treat God or refer to God, you've probably countless times witnessed people that seem to trample upon God, talk about Him as He is nothing, that He is just like one of us, or worse, that He is less than us. But these people are not believers. These people do not know the things of God, and they are not friends of God. But when God's name, when His holy name is disgraced among His people, God must act. Because if His holy people do not lift up His name, do not lift up Him in reverence and respect, then no one else will. And the Bible is very clear that He will preserve His name in this world. He will preserve His name. And so when people that claim to know the Lord and say these things, God cannot let it go. He cannot let it slip by. The nations of the world have to know that there is a God. They have to understand the holiness of the one that we serve. And there must be a place where He is kept holy. He is looking for men and women, boys and girls, that will serve Him and revere Him and honor Him. He is looking for people who tremble in His presence, not because they fear God's wrath, but because they sense their total unworthiness. The men of Beth Shemesh did not regard God with awe and reverence. They did not realize their unworthiness. They attempted to remove the covering of the ark and to peer into it. And they didn't realize they were altogether unworthy. Unworthy to touch the sacred things of God. They looked upon the ark of God's covenant, which contained the law of God, the very law that they were supposed to be meditating upon at this time in this cycle because of God's providence and provision in the past. They looked upon this box that contained the law of God as a magic box with mystical objects. And they tried to remove the covering so that they could understand the secrets of God. They wanted to know the secrets of the ark and the power that it contained. And so they peered inside. But the secret of the power of God is obedience to His commands and principles. The secret to knowing the ways of God is the fear of God. When we know God by keeping His commands and principles, it is then that we can draw near to Him. When the so-called great men of this world find a way to explain something that has been perhaps shrouded in mystery, they place it beneath their feet as something that they have conquered or mastered. Think about it. As a small child, or even as an adult, if you've come to understand something and it has become simple to you, you place it beneath your feet as something that you have mastered. But God is not beneath us. God is not beneath us. In fact, the Bible tells us that the earth is God's footstool. We cannot pull God down to us. We must go up. We must look up to our God. Christ did not come down to the earth to lower God. He did not come down to lower God and to reduce or diminish His commands. He came to bring you and I up to God. The Bible continues in verse 20. 1 Samuel 6:20 says, "And the men of Beth Shemesh said, 'Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God?'" They're getting it now, aren't they? Who is able to stand? That's right. That's what they should have been saying when they saw the ark return. In fact, that's what they should have been saying when they decided they wanted to take the ark out of Shiloh in the first place. That's what they should have been saying when they entered the promised land. That's what they should have been saying when they were first constituted as a people. That's what they should have been saying when they first met the Lord. Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? through Jesus we can. Through a Savior we can. But without Christ in place, without Christ in place, we cannot. And the Beth Shemites continued and said, "Into whom shall it go up from us?" They sadly realized that they were no longer worthy of God's presence. Whom shall it go up from among us? And so it says in verse 21, they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you." The inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim lived on the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem, in a town that was well fortified, up from the valley of the Beth Shemeshites. The men of Beth Shemesh began to realize that the ark must go up from them. If we cannot come up to be in God's presence through the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of his sacrifice, then God's presence sadly must go up from us. Too late, the men of Beth Shemesh realized. Too late, they understood that if you want to look into the ark, if you want to appear into God's presence, then you must look up to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that thou art holy. And Lord, we come to you today because we know that we are not worthy for your presence in our lives, and yet you have promised there is a way. There is a way to be reconciled to you. And yet, Lord, we realize at the same time that you are awe-inspiring, that you command worship and you command respect and reverence. And I pray, Lord, that each person here will approach you and tremble in your presence because they realize that they are in the presence of an awesome God. Lord, I pray that this understanding may be etched into the hearts of each person here so that they can worship you in the beauty of holiness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.